Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Maz.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, Tom. Congrats on signing with Tampa Bay and starting your new journey down there.
Thanks,
have
Ben.
I have a question about your leaving New England, your departure here. Robert Kraft did several interviews the other day, or whenever that was, when you left, stating that this was really what you wanted, that leaving New England was what you wanted, and that if you had wanted to come back to the Patriots, that they would have made a deal happen, but that you leaving and you wanting to start elsewhere was what you wanted to do. Would you agree with that assessment?
Well, yeah, again, I'm not responsible for, you know, how other people, you know, will say certain things. I think Mr. Kraft has, you know, been a great influence in my life. And I'm so grateful for, you know, 2 decades, you know, and you know, I referenced that the other day. It's been an amazing thing for my family. And I'm sure when I'm done playing, I'll look back and have a chance to really reevaluate, you know, my entire career. But, you know, at the same time, I'm excited for, you know, this opportunity that I have. And, you know, I can only speak to how I feel. And, you know, I wrote about that in my social media the other day. And, you know, this was getting to be a free agent and, you know, having the opportunity to join the Bucks was something that I was really excited about. And that's where we're at, where we're at. That's why we're at where we're at.
As Brady today, did he sound excited? Did he sound excited to you, Murray?
No, wasn't really dripping with enthusiasm. And maybe it's the reality of, you know, something new here after 20 years of being a Patriot is now in front of him, or the weight of the world with the situation going on with the coronavirus outbreak. Maybe it's that, but I don't know. I expected a little more up and enthusiasm out of Brady. Like, all right, guys, I'm ready to go. Ready for the new chapter in my life. The next few years is part of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And it was just kind of like he sounded like a robot and everything was very boilerplate and didn't really give you much. And I don't know. I also would have liked some dirt. I don't know.
It was a shot or two?
Yeah. It's just too much high road. I hate the high road.
So, you know, I've asked, has anyone sensing any regret in Brady's voice? The big boy, Greg Bedard, heard it. He's feeling it. He's hearing it. Greg Bedard in the Boston Sports Journal wrote that it sure sounded like Brady, for the first time, has started to grasp the scope of the challenge he's about to undertake. He said this all probably sounded pretty good in his own mind since last summer when he gave when Belichick gave Brady his final insulting extension offer, and then Brady asked for the trigger to the bomb to blow up the relationship. But since Brady pushed it, so much has happened. A real market with ready-made Super Bowl contenders did not materialize for him. He was left with loser franchises that would pay just about anything for some legitimacy, leaving Brady, in essence, a mercenary. Brady agreed to terms with a new franchise, and more importantly, the world changed in such a manner that Brady might be relegated to a finite amount of on-field practice time to learn a new offense, teammates, and coaches before games start, if they start at all. None of this was an accident, writes Bedard. As this pandemic rages on, the chances Brady will make a smooth transition in Tampa dwindle. And he knows that. And he's beginning to understand the landscape, writes Bedard. He's starting to realize how really things were teed up for him in New England. Belichick had crafted his system, crude as it might be at times to those in the middle of it, but he had crafted it over multiple decades. The consistency is remarkable. And a big part of the success, Bruce Arians has cut back more and more every year since he's been a head coach since 2013. Josh McDaniels and Scarnett, blah, blah, and he goes on and on. He said, now Brady has to learn the ins and outs of 30-odd offensive players with limited practice time under the CBA and possibly a tightened time frame due to COVID-19. And he's trying to do it remotely, maybe with some Montana throwing sessions mixed in, meaning the state, meaning his retreat in Montana. He said, after Brady burned the boats from New England, at some point he realized he's alone in this now. No Josh McDaniels to text about slight tweaks in the practice and game plans. No Julian Edelman to vent about Belichick with. No David Andrews to text about protections against new defensive pressures. No Skarnecchia to text about life. After 20 years, he's a pilgrim in an unholy land, Maz, with Alex Guerrero being his only sidecar. Quote, I'm entering into something that's very unique to me, Brady said. Bedard writes he's got that right. And it sounded like hearing the words out loud finally hit him like a charging linebacker hard and fast. So Brady's feeling that thing. He's feeling that thing. He's feeling that regret doing that first bit of news here, first bit of business with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Did you feel that at all?
No, I didn't feel regret about the Tampa part of it. I think Brady feels a little anxiety, which I think, again, I think this is actually a good thing. Because let's face it, Brady had this routine down so cold with the Patriots that there wasn't a chance of anyone else keeping up with him. We talked a lot about this during the season, that the communication gap and the knowledge gap between Brady and N'Keal Harry and Jacoby Myers, Brady would put all the blame on them, like, these guys can't keep up. And now I think the opposite is true. Everyone else is ahead of him, at least in the Tampa Bay system. So I think this allows Brady to put his energy into football again, as opposed to focusing on what the other guys can't do. I think that that part of it will be a good thing. But ask me again, when things start going wrong for the Bucs, if they start going wrong for the Bucs, guys start running bad routes, and if he has a bad year, then I think it'll change.
Well, so I hope you're right. I hope Brady's rejuvenated, and I hope he's rededicated, and I hope we see the guy that, you know, wins the parking spot and is the first one in and the last one out as much as it can be in this time. And that, you know, I want to see vintage Brady for Tampa this year. It'd be fabulously entertaining. It'd be great. Great to see. I hope it's right.
I'm sorry. All I'm telling you is I think he's got other things to worry about now. Here, he didn't have enough to worry about because he had the offense down so cold. He was tired of Bill's crap that all he could sit there and do was dwell on how much he hated it and how much people couldn't keep up with him. I think in Tampa now, he's got plenty on his plate, and it's a lot. But I also don't agree with Greg completely that he's alone. He's not alone. I mean, he's got new people. He's got Arians who will be in his corner, and he's got new players that can't wait to play with him because, let's face it, Jameis Winston threw 30 picks last year. Brady has thrown 29 in the last 4 years combined. Okay? So, and I just, you know, on a whim looked those numbers up earlier today, but there are plenty of guys there that are going to offer a shoulder for Brady to lean on.
Okay, but be that as it may, hopefully it rejuvenates him, as you're saying, and the fact that he has to do more will allow him to be better. He has to put in more work, and the more work he puts in, the better he'll be, and all of that. I hope you're right. But there's also this point of, it's clear that for 2 years he's been waiting to stick it to Belichick. He's been waiting for 2 years for this moment to say, nope, Bill, I'm not taking your lousy offer. In fact, I'll stay, but I want to hear you say it on your knees. I want to hear you say it about what I mean to you. I want to see a representative offer. I want you to treat me the way I need to be treated and I should be treated. And if you're not going to treat me that way, I'm gone. He's been waiting for it for 2 years.
Wasn't that evident, too, looking at how his actions were on the field and walking to the sideline miserable throughout last season? He just couldn't wait to get the hell over with.
So, look, he got his moment. Yeah. He got his moment. He got that Monday night at Roberts where they got Bill on the phone and he was able to say, F you, buddy. And I'm sure he said it in a much classier way, and he didn't even say that, but that's what was going through his head. Bye-bye, Bill. See ya. You didn't think I would do this, did you? Bye. And it felt great. Felt great driving home. Felt great that next day or two with his camp and his father and his wife and Alex, and it must have felt great. At some point here in the last week, has he woken up and said, holy crap, what did I just do?
Maybe.
What did I just do? Now I got to move to Tampa? I don't go to Tampa. That place blows. And never mind, you know, the world we live in today and COVID-19, and now I can't even Oh, I was going to go to OTAs to stick it to the Patriots to go, ha ha, see, I'm going to OTAs. Now I can't even go to OTA. Now I got to, what did I do? What am I doing? And I wonder if he's had that moment. I wonder if he's had it.
Yeah, if he hasn't had it yet, he will. I mean, that's for sure. Like, I think that's a guarantee. I think there's zero chance that he doesn't have that moment. And, you know, given where we are and the inability of these players to go into their facilities because of the coronavirus, I think that's another reason why today he made a point of saying, I don't know when OTAs are, just to let everyone know that we may not have them, but I would have been there. Do you hear me, Bill? So, look, but my point is, Mike, he's still taking a little bit of satisfaction in pointing out to the Patriots, yeah, if we had OTAs, I was going to go. So I still think there's some residue from that, F you, I'm out of there. But at some point, the reality will set in. There's no question.
Yeah, and I just hope he carries that. The feeling he had after the Monday night meeting in Robert, yeah, I finally stuck it to him. I finally did it, Alex. You know, I hope he carries that all year and has got that all year. I worry that at some point he's going to drive into that facility. He's going to drive into the Big Sombrero, Ray J Stay or whatever, you know, drive into the pirate ship and say to himself, oh, I can't believe I did that.
Arians is out in the parking lot crushing beers.
Right. Yeah. Arians is out in the, having a tailgate out in the parking lot during practice time.
Hey, bro. Oh, my God. Listen to some jazz music. Scooby-dee-bop-bop-boo.
He's going to be like, what did I do? And then he starts looking at the clock like, when do I get out of here?
Yeah.
How long do I got? You know, all I wanted to do was stick it to Bill. I didn't actually want to work here.
Right. I left the Patriots for a team that plays its games at a stadium that looks like a miniature golf course, like the pirate ship of the whole nine yards. And he will. He'll have that moment. And look, maybe he had dispute that.
Yeah, how about he has that moment when he's, you know, Arians has him doing nine-step drops and he's getting pulverized by opposing defenses waiting for a guy to uncover 27 yards down the field. And he's like, what? Can I just where's my little slot guy I can check down to for 4 yards?
Well, I think that's a big one for me, is I think they really have to be careful there, because one thing Belichick did do, whether it was the offense and Brady's skill set, all the above, but regardless, he protected Brady. Brady very rarely got the snot kicked out of him here. I mean, he took his hits, but it wasn't like it is in some places like Tampa.
We continue with your reaction to Tom Brady as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer right after this.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new Business Hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're a member FDIC. Colin Cowherd of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Mazz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Mazz.
A great show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
What would it have taken for you to stay in New England?
Well, you know, again, I don't want to talk about the past because that's not relevant to what's, you know, important in my, you know, future and what's going on this offseason for me. And like I said, I had nothing but 2 decades of an incredible experience and learning from some of the best players and the best coaches and the ownership of the team. And, you know, I think for all of us, you know, things in life can change and you got to be able to adapt and evolve. And with each of those changes become different opportunities to learn and grow, and that's where I'm at. And, you know, anytime you leave somewhere, it's very emotional, and I've had my, you know, it's been, you know, the transition, I would say is very emotional with a lot of guys that I've talked to that I've shared the field with, because, you know, the relationships are what matter most to me. And, you know, I'm going to be friends with my teammates, my former teammates and coaches for the rest of my life. And that's not going to leave just because I'm wearing a different jersey. But at the same time, for me, the new jersey I'm wearing, you know, I'm prepared to give them the every bit of commitment that I've had my entire career to be the best I could be, to help this team be the best it could be. And I did say there's not one person that, you know, that makes a team. It's every single person doing their job every day that's committed and determined to be the best. And, I'm a very disciplined, quarterback. I try to, follow through on, the things that I'm committed to, and I try to work every day to be the best I could be. And that's what I'm going to try to push my teammates to do. And, I'm just excited to get started.
All right, more from Tom Brady today. We continue with your calls, as promised. John in Charlestown. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. It's awesome. 2 points, Felgia. Real quick one. First, I think you're out to lunch. I think you're setting them up for next year by saying they're going to win the division. No way. But the most important point is Bill was dying to get rid of Tom Brady. And hear me out on this. 2 years he's been, his insulting deals were growing in insult. Because you know what Bill's like about his legacy and his consistency. Now imagine you're Richard Seymour, you're Lawyer Malloy, you're Vince Wilfork, you're Mike Vrabel, you're sitting at home, and you look at this, you say, wow, I guess it really was business. It wasn't personal. He just got rid of Tom freaking Brady. And that is so important to Bill Belichick. Consistency, history. You know what he's like about that. I'd love to hear what you think of that.
Okay, John, then why is Devin McCourty still here? Why is Dante Hightower still here? Because those guys are old, probably a little overpaid, and they're not going anywhere. So, I'm sure Bill likes to be considered consistent and just doing what's best for the team and all of that, but I think that's an imperfect record. And I think that if Tom Brady would come back if Tom Brady would have taken their crappy one-year offer, he'd be here. So what are you talking about? It began with the contract.
Yeah. No, and that bled into, his feelings of being overlooked and everything and not being, put on the same level as Bill. But it does start with a contract.
Is the first thing, his first thing that I'm setting them up, is that so I can rip them if they have a bad year next year?
No.
Probably.
I mean, believe me, I will, for sure.
No, I think you've been really consistent on this,
matter
who the quarterback is, whether it's Stidham, Hoyer, they're going to compete, and that last week of the season, they'll be playing for a playoff spot.
Thank you. I've been saying this for over 2 years. So.
Okay, but at the time you said it, too, did you envision them shredding the roster, at least as of right now, the way they've shredded it?
No, I did not. But I my prediction, or whatever you want to call that, my take there was never based on the talent. It was based on...
No, it's the rest of the suck in the division more than anything else.
Right, that they're still going to be smart and disciplined and take care of the ball and not make stupid mistakes, and everyone else around them will, and that will allow them to win the games, to win a bunch of games just like that. And so maybe they won't have these 12, 13 win seasons like they've had, but can they just win 10 like that? 9, 10? I mean, these... Mass, how many games... I've mentioned this before, like... How many games have we had in the last decade where it really made no difference who your quarterback was, and it made no difference who your starting corner was? It made no difference who, half the players on the roster were. It was just they lined up and didn't jump off sides, and the other team was a complete basket case, and you won the game walking away by 20, 30 points. And we've had so many of those.
Okay, but Mike, at the same time, look at the combination of factors. And I'm saying as of right now, okay, again, ask me again when the season starts. Let me see how free agency plays out and how the draft goes. But as we've talked about, they have as much or more dead money or close to it as any team in the league. They've had bad drafts. How do you feel about their young talent? Because we've had this discussion a million times.
I don't love their talent, period. Young, old, I don't think they're a really talented team.
How's the schedule look?
Pretty hard.
Okay, so when I add all these things up, I say... This is not what I envisioned. This is part of what we were talking about earlier. I just never thought it would get to this stage for the transition, which I'm willing to live through, by the way. I'm not telling you that it's over and the dynasty's dead and the Patriots will never be good again. I'm not going that far. I'm just telling you that where they are right now, oh boy, there's a lot to overcome. And not just the loss of Brady, the way they've lost players on the defense, the money they have committed, the bad drafts, the schedule coming up, the road games that they have to play. I don't like where it is right now, and I'm not telling you they're dead if they go 6-10, but I'm not ruling it out.
Yeah, let's see what Josh Allen does on 3rd and 8. Let's see how Adam Gase coaches those 2 games. And on down the line, let's see what happens when you go out to L.A. against Tyrod Taylor. Let's see what happens. You know, I mean, I still don't have faith in the league. Chris in Bellingham. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, what's going on, guys? All right, Miles. When you have a young quarterback coming in, you have Stidham obviously taking over for Brady right now. You see all these bad teams, they draft a quarterback high because their teams are so bad, and they don't have a good offensive line for the guy, they don't have a good defense, they're constantly playing from behind and they get beat up. The Patriots solidified their offensive line, whether you want to talk about bad drafts or not. They have Isaiah Wynn at left tackle.
Hey, Chris.
Totally, yeah.
So what's the point? Is Stidham's going to be brought into a sound environment?
No. All right. So offensive line was the first thing. But in terms of defense, I mean, everything that they've lost is easily overcome. They're going to run a 3-4 defense. They still have Lawrence Guy. Adam Butler hasn't been signed. They just re-signed Chalik Calhoun.
Okay, you've just given me like 4 different things, man. Well, like, what's your point? He thinks they're going to be fine. I do, too. The losses on defense are not easily overcome. You've just lost 2 good starting linebackers. You signed one from the Jets, like the tweener guy. Like, that's not going to be easy. That ain't going to be easy. And Danny Shelton was really good for you in the middle of that defensive line. This Bo Allen kid from Tampa is probably a downgrade. It ain't going to be easy. You aren't going to win on talent. You're barking up the wrong tree. Talent's not going to be how you get through. It's going to be coaching and smarts and discipline and just that. You're going to grind that out is what it's going to be, is how it's going to have to be. Because you've lost a lot of talent in the last couple of years, not just this one. Chris in the car. Go, Chris.
Hi, guys. How you doing? I'm going to go 60% contract, 40% with Mari stating, like, it's about the brand. And you know what? He wanted to go to 45. So revisionist history. Could we just reset the clock, go back 3 or 4 years? And if they gave him $20 million a year, guaranteed to get him to 44 at least, with an option, what do you think? Would that just shut everybody up and everybody would have been happy?
Would have shut him up. Maz, don't you think? If they had offered him that contract 2 years ago, 3 years ago, he'd still be here.
No question. Yeah, I think things really started to spiral. Again, I go back to the Eagles Super Bowl right after that, based on the Wickersham story and sort of the Palace queue and all of that stuff. To me, according to the more recent Wickersham story, the rehash that he wrote the other day, the idea that Brady was walking around telling people, I'm out of here. Boy, I mean, and that coincided with the time when they started getting departures on the coaching staff. To me, there was clearly a sense in the organization among people there that it was deteriorating. Had they preempted it at that stage, right about there was the pivotal moment, I think, where they could have saved it, maybe even a year later. By the time he got to, you know, late summer this year, I think the horse had left the barn.
Meanwhile, another big-name quarterback is now available for the Patriots if they want to take a nibble. Do they? Details on this story with Jim Murray here in the update.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. Still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. Member FDIC.
Miss something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Hi, Tom. Congratulations.
Thanks, Karen. I'm going to miss you.
I'll miss you, too. When in your mind did you officially cut the cord with the Patriots? And how hard was it to tell Robert and the Patriots you were moving on?
It was really, you know, the night that I had stopped by and seen, I spoke with Mr. Kraft and asked if I could come over and see him. And we spoke and we had a great conversation. You know, and I just wanted to express, you know, what he's meant to me in my life. And we spoke with Coach Belichick at the same time. We were in different locations, so we talked to him, and it was a great conversation. And got a chance to talk to Jonathan Kraft as well. And, you know, all three of those guys have been involved in so many important decisions in my life, but career-related, personal-related. And, you know, I leave there with just great admiration for the people in that organization. And it's a world-class, first-class organization in every way. And I wanted to leave it that way, too. So, I know the Patriots have a great team. They always do. They have great players, great leadership, great coaches. And, you know, I certainly wish them the best. But for me, you know, I've got to transition and focus on the opportunity that I have to, you know, make the current situation I'm in as best I possibly can. And, you know, they hired me to do a job here, and I'm going to go in there and do it like you've always seen me do for a long time. Like, you know, the fans have always seen me do, like, opposing coaches, my teammates have seen me do, and I'm going to give it everything I got like I've done everything in my life for as long as I've been playing this sport.
Getting more with Brady today. I was asked earlier by a caller, if I were Brady, would I have stayed or left? And I said I would have stayed because I'm pretty good at just punching the clock, grinding it out, and, you know, just sort of taking it like that. So emailer says, Steven writes in, says, Felger, you seem to be all over the map regarding Brady leaving. You'll say you doubted Brady had the balls to leave, which would seem to imply you think it took courage to leave, right? Isn't courage a good trait to have? Also, you said you would have stayed if it was you because you're a quote-unquote grinder, but based on your balls quote, wouldn't you mean staying that you lacked balls? I'm just trying to understand, says Steve. To which I say, excellent point. You got me there. So let me clarify.
As a classy blah is what that was.
Well, it is. It's, well, he got me. It's true. It's inconsistent. I'm a grinder who has no balls. It's both. It's a combination. I don't think that I would, you know, I mean, but it's a stupid question to begin with. Like, what would you have done? Like, who could put ourselves in Brady's spot? Like, that's he's in a whole different universe. It's a whole different world, a whole different mindset. Like we're just, you know, we're just regular folks. He's something much different. So it's a much different circumstance. So there's no comparison. But I am a grinder and I have no balls, right? So that's fair. I got another email based on yesterday's conversation about, well, let's hope Bill has a plan according. Is it possible he has no plan? Is it possible that Bill's plan was to have Brady cave and come back, and that was the plan? And now he's sitting here, you know, twisting in the wind without a real plan? And my buddy Todd, good Christmas in the City contributor as well, says, don't you think that there's a valid argument that Belichick's attitude and actions regarding Brady and lack of replacement could be significantly driven by fact? In other words, Bill thinks he has another Jimmy Garoppolo situation on his hands right now with Stidham. No guarantee, but the alternative is Bill got really stupid and left the position he himself has said is the one place your team cannot have a hole with a hole. Feels like the obvious answer is usually the right one. He thinks the kid is the next guy, meaning Stidham, and that's exactly why he signed and they signed Hoyer. He might be wrong, but I don't think he got caught flat-footed. That all this is just an indication that he thinks he's got the next Garoppolo in Jared Stidham. And if you add it all up, you know, he had a chance to go back after Garoppolo. Remember, the Niners were considering Brady. And as we heard from those reports, the Niners, there was a time where they were floating Jimmy Garoppolo. He had Garoppolo. They were taking calls on Garoppolo. If anyone wanted to make an offer, they would have taken it. So the Pats could have done that. The Pats could have offered them a first-round pick and gotten Jimmy Garoppolo back. They apparently weren't in. And they haven't been in on any sort of name guy. The only guy they bring back is Brian Hoyer, who's a career backup who knows the system, would seem to be a perfect number two
for Jared Stidham? And is it just sort of, and, oh, by the way, they never gave Brady a legit offer. They never gave him any offer. Does that all just point to what could be the obvious fact that Belichick thinks he's got the guy in Jared Stidham?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely it could be that. I mean, and it's a good point by the listener, right? You know, if Stidham is the starter, I think we touched on this a little bit yesterday, but you know, maybe we didn't hit it head on. My frustration with Hoyer is if he's the starter, you tell me that Hoyer is the backup and that Belichick believes in Stidham. Well, that's something altogether different. So we need to see that, obviously, but Bill certainly may know more about Stidham than we do. I liked the little bit I saw of Stidham. He looked a little rattled in that Jets game during the regular season, but give him a full training camp, take the specter of Tom Brady away and not hanging over his head, and he has a little bit more confidence, maybe knowing he can beat out someone like Brian Hoyer versus someone like Brady when he knew he had no shot. You know, I'm eager to look. If Stidham can play, everything changes.
That would make sense. He already beat out Hoyer last year. It's why he ended up with the Indianapolis Colts. You know,
right? A guy that knows the playbook, knows the system, isn't better than Stidham, but can play if you need him to play. Checks all those boxes if you think Stidham's the guy.
But the real tell, and he's right to bring it up, is that they were never in any of these named guys. Whether it was trying to trade for Cam Newton, trying to trade for Nick Foles, trying to bring in Teddy Bridgewater, there was never any real interest with any of these established starters that did something.
They were never even really in on Tom Brady. If you think about
it. Oh, right. No, it's true.
I mean, now, I still think that Brady caving and coming back on a bad contract was in the back of their minds of being a real possibility.
Agreed.
And, you know, because Robert tips it off when he says, when Brady called me Monday night, I thought it was to come over and quietly do the deal like we've always done it. So I think there was some thought there that, hey, if he comes back and takes the cheese on this lousy deal, then, well, hey, we'll go with Brady another year. No harm, no foul. And that was, whether you call that plan A or something that they had in their mind, I think that's real too. But maybe everything else just points to the fact that Bill thinks he's got the guy in Jared Stidham. And if you just look at it through that context, everything else makes sense, including the perceived lack of interest in Tom Brady. And, you know, Todd was right to bring up the, you know, that line that Belichick gave when he drafted Garoppolo. It's the one position that you'd rather be early than late. We all know Tom's age and contract situation, and it's not smart to have one quarterback. And, like, you know, of all the positions to play that game with, for Bill to be caught flat-footed at that position, like, that's hard to believe he would allow that to happen.
Oh, look, again, and that comment, too, and I know we played it at the end of last week as well, which is it's not responsible to have one guy at that position. Oh, would you shut up with that, please? Like, the more I hear that, and I don't mean you, Mike.
Yeah, no.
I mean, the Belichick, like, what? You're drafting Garoppolo to be a backup? No, you were drafting him to be the successor. I always thought Belichick was a little disingenuous with that part of it. But after all of that, and amplifying how important that position is, it's a good point. It does make you wonder whether he looks at Stidham and at the very least says, Stidham's as good as anyone else I can get out there, and so I'm not going to spend the money. I'll pay him his $800,000. We'll put him in there, and I'm bringing in Hoyer as competition for him because the kid needs competition. And hell, maybe I'll even draft someone again just in case. I'd like to see that. But if this is all part of the Jarrett Stidham plan, then fine.
Right.
I'm okay with that part of it.
Right, I would agree. And it's straightforward. We feel we have the next guy. Maybe he's wrong, but there was a plan. If they, here in the next couple of weeks, sign Andy Dalton, Cam Newton, blah, you know, then you're going to look at it and go, well, wait a minute. You were just,
it's a mess.
You were just waiting to see what shook free, what piece of crap shook free out of the sieve in May. So let's see how it all plays out. But if this is the plan, then at least it's a plan.
Honestly, I think the same could be applied as if they draft a quarterback in the first couple of rounds. It shows you, like, no, he doesn't really believe in Stidham. That's not the answer. But if you get someone fourth or fifth round, okay, you know, it's just someone that could potentially push him or be a backup for the future. But if they draft someone with 23 overall, like, Stidham is not the guy.
It's a good point, Murray.
Okay, we wrap it up with your calls and zip through these as well as we can. Here's Jim in Beverly. Hi, Jim.
Hey, guys. Hey, I you keep touching on Tampa Bay. Tom can't live in Tampa Bay. He's going to live in Palm Beach. Or he's going to live in West Palm Beach, right next to his buddy Trump. That's where the Glazers lived. That owned the team. You jet out of Palm Beach. It's like a 20-minute hop to Tampa Bay. And this is the best situation for him. He's got a top-10 wide receiver, two great tight ends, and a coach that's going to listen to him after he's worked with the greatest football mind for 20 years. He takes that with him. They're going to have a great year.
He's going to live in Palm Beach. He live in
West. No way.
He's going to live in West Palm.
There's also a misconception.
But he's going to live in Palm Beach and helicopter across the state every day.
No way.
No.
Just live in Tampa.
Just live in New York and then do that commute.
I mean, again, I'm fascinated to see this. Does he bring the whole kit and caboodle, all the kitties, the wife, the whole thing, and set up shop in Tampa, and the kids go to school in Tampa, and the whole thing? I'm fascinated to see if he actually goes through with that.
There's also a bit of a misconception about the tight end. So Brate's really good, and O.J. Howard is talented but was injured last year, and for whatever reason was in Bruce Arians' doghouse. And if you're in that guy's doghouse, how much of an a-hole are you?
That's a good point. Got to work really hard to get in there. Jeff on Cape Cod. Hi, Jeff.
So first of all, in the modern era, superstar athletes just don't end up with the team, you know, that they're with for a long time. That's just a fact. Second of all, I mean, you guys, you know, need to give yourself credit for the fact that every time Brady was a diva, whether it was with Alex Guerrero or that whole sourpuss routine last year with the press conferences, you guys called them out. So for Maz, for you to say, you know, that, you know, him having something to prove, you know, was sort of, you know, putting his nose up to Bill, I think is wrong. I mean, he's still talking about what Lloyd Carr did to him at Michigan. This guy inherently has a chip on his shoulder and has everything probably to prove, you know, to the guy that coached him in Little League and in you know, when he was 7 years old. That's just what makes Brady tick, in my opinion.
So you're saying that's right? Did you follow him there, Mass?
Not entirely, no. I didn't follow him, but I do understand the general premise of guys like Brady are wired a certain way and they're always going to find something to bitch about because it's what keeps them going. And I do believe that that guys like him are just wired differently and they'll find a slight in everything. And so do I think Brady has some of that? Sure. Yes, absolutely. I don't see, honestly, where, you know, I've been inconsistent with regard to what I've said about Brady in the past versus what he did act like a diva last year. He acted like a pain in the ass. He was completely whining about everything, which didn't serve, ultimately, the team on the field. I don't think it helped the Patriots. Do I understand why he felt that way? Yeah, but I also thought he would get over it at some point, and he never did.
We've got the final word coming your way right after this.
Sports. Austin's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. Still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. Member FDIC.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. A couple of pieces of sound to get to. Do you have something to plug first? Or are you?
No.
I don't know if you were still plugging.
I have
plugging
nothing in front of me, so I have nothing to plug.
Thing from yesterday. Okay. Well, first, with these wild corona times we're living in, we as a society have come together, a time of understanding, listening, being kinder to one another. But not in every case, though, like Felger dealing with long-winded phone calls.
We continue with your thoughts. Here's Mal in West Hartford. Go ahead, Mal.
Oh, thanks very much for putting me on. Listen, you know, the thing that concerns me is, and I love Tom Brady. I think he's the greatest player that ever played for the Patriots. But I want to tell you something. I think that both sides won in this case. And here's why. First of all, Dante Scarnecchia is gone now. And he was really the guru of that offensive line. So who would be protecting Brady's blind side? The defense is falling apart. They're going to have to rebuild there.
Mal.
Tom lost trust in these young receivers.
He refused
to throw to them.
I got
to
cut you off.
And so I think that there was a lot going on here.
How did the Patriots win? I have to cut you off. I just can't. He's going to go on for 2 minutes and not stop. Sorry. Is that rude?
No, not at all.
I'm sorry. I was rude to a caller. I can't. He was just going
to
keep going.
No need to apologize.
Two minutes and give me the full background. I got. No, we know it. We got it.
Starting a lawnmower.
What's the point? Is there a point in there? There was no take. It was a background. It was like a feature story. I know. I got it. No, we know all that. So I'm apologizing to my mom, Georgia. I'm sorry. My mom gets on me. Like, why?
Oh, really?
Yeah. She gets on me. So like you. Yeah, be nicer to the callers. They're just trying to be the...
Yeah, let me tell you why, because they got rid of the punter.
So when I apologize, it's really so my mom doesn't yell at me. But, oh, my God, the point. Need a point. Don't need the background. We got the background.
Let me tell you how much I love Tom, and now that Skarnecki is gone, he's like, who's going to protect his blind?
Another defense. Okay, got it. Right, what?
Let's go. Next one. Someone who does get it on the phones always, though, is a man who I just think is a delight. That would be Guy in Boston.
I think Guy in Boston happens to be one of those people, aren't you, Guy?
You're very right, Michael, because I want to talk about egos. You keep mentioning Brady's ego. How about Belichick? Did you see a thing with Phil Perry, and he says he asked Bill Belichick at a conference at the last time, and Belichick said, well, I could do that because I'm the head coach. That's ego. And if you think the Patriots are going to be any good this year, you watch Fantasy Island, the plane. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I think Bill's ego is massive. No, Guy gets it. Every call's under 45 seconds. Yep. There's a punchline. He gets off the phone, and it's usually a landline. Like, that's perfect. Perfect.
The ideal caller, I feel great.
I love Guy.
I think it was his life story, like the history of the Patriots depth chart.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. You still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. Member FDIC.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.